Have you ever wondered why we instinctively believe all humans possess equal dignity? Why we consider compassion for the vulnerable a virtue rather than weakness? These assumptions feel natural, even self-evident. Yet for most of human history, they would have seemed absurd. The ancient world celebrated strength, beauty, and power. Weakness was shameful. Slaves were property. The poor were contemptible. Then something extraordinary happened. A crucified carpenter from an obscure Roman province became the pivot point of human history, transforming how we think about everything from human rights to social justice. Romans reserved crucifixion for society's dregs, slaves, rebels, criminals. Victims were often left rotting on their crosses as warnings, denied even the dignity of burial. The idea that such a person might be divine wasn't merely unusual, it was obscene. Yet early Christians venerated the cross, transforming history's most degrading symbol into an emblem of hope. This wasn't just theological innovation, it was moral revolution. Greek and Roman culture linked virtue to social status. The word virtue itself derived from vir, meaning man or warrior. Strength, honor, and power defined excellence. The notion that slaves, women, or the poor could possess superior moral worth was alien to classical thinking. Christianity flipped this hierarchy entirely, declaring that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Christianity emerged from three converging worldviews. Persia saw existence as a cosmic battle between truth and lie, with kings as divine champions, a dualism profoundly influencing Jewish and Christian thought. Athens embraced paradox. Their gods embodied complexity, like Apollo as both healer and plague bringer, representing divine light more nuanced than Persian absolutes. The Jewish contribution proved revolutionary. Unlike neighboring peoples, Jewish monarchy was subordinate to divine law. Most radically, Jews claimed their God was not merely superior, but the only true God, an uncompromising monotheism Christianity inherited. What distinguished Jewish understanding was God's concern for the weak. When Pharaoh enslaved the Israelites, God liberated them, choosing slaves over kings. This preference found ultimate expression in Christ's crucifixion, creating a moral framework influencing even secular modern society. By medieval times, Christ's suffering became central to Christian devotion. Caravaggio's 1601 painting of Peter's crucifixion epitomized this transformation, honoring a peasant fisherman who died in humiliation, yet was venerated as holder of the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The cross's journey from shame to salvation represents history's most successful symbolic revolution. Paul transformed a Jewish sect into a universal religion by reimagining religious identity. Though he believed Torah came from God, he argued Christ's crucifixion had rendered neither circumcision nor lack of it valuable. His confidence stemmed from witnessing God's Spirit descend upon converts, performing miracles as signs of a new covenant. Most revolutionary was his proclamation of spiritual equality. He offered Roman believers something unprecedented: adoption by God himself. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children," he wrote, conferring divine sonship on even the lowliest believers. He extended this to sexuality, declaring believers' bodies temples of the Holy Spirit, offering dignity to prostitutes and slaves normally treated as mere objects. This tension between revolutionary spiritual equality and practical accommodation would define Christianity's complex relationship with social structures for centuries. Even today's secular society retains the conviction that true greatness lies in service, testament to Christianity's enduring influence on our moral imagination. By the 3rd century, Christianity had developed sophisticated theological frameworks, blending Jewish monotheism with Greek philosophy. Origen of Alexandria created a revolutionary fusion, accessible to both scholars and common people, radical in a society where philosophy was typically reserved for elites. Christianity's transformation accelerated when Emperor Constantine showed Christian sympathies after his victory at Milvian Bridge in 312. He convened the Council of Nicaea in 325, producing the Nicene Creed, defining Christ as of one substance with God. The empire now sought unity through shared belief rather than ritual. As Christianity gained imperial favor, it developed extensive social support networks. Julian the Apostate, attempting to restore paganism in the 360s, recognized Christians had built unmatched charity systems and ordered pagan priests to replicate them with imperial subsidies, unwittingly adopting Christian practices while combating Christianity. The transformation from persecuted sect to imperial religion brought both opportunities and complications as the church navigated its new relationship with worldly power. Christianity revolutionized society by making charity sacred. Basil of Caesarea created the Basilius, a complex housing the first hospital and shelter for the poor. He personally cared for lepers and condemned wealthy hoarders. His brother Gregory declared slavery an offense against God, arguing human nature was created free and priceless. Martin of Tours exemplified this transformation. As a young soldier, he encountered a freezing beggar at Amiens gates. Having no money, Martin cut his military cloak in half and shared it. That night, he dreamed of Christ wearing the same half cloak, saying, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Wealthy Christians struggled reconciling status with Jesus's warnings about camels and needles. In 394, Paulinus shocked society by selling everything for poverty. Augustine offered an alternative. Properly directed wealth for protection and charity could please God. This appealed to aristocrats seeking divine sanction for their authority in post-Roman Europe, creating a legacy of both radical charity and accommodation to power. Our most cherished secular values, human dignity, equality, compassion for the vulnerable, derive not from reason alone, but from Christianity's revolutionary impact. The French Revolution, despite its anti-clerical violence, embodied distinctly Christian patterns, replacing Christ's promise of future judgment with immediate justice through the guillotine. The abolitionist movement, beginning with Quaker Benjamin Lay, transformed into international policy when Britain's 1807 Act led 8 European powers to declare slavery repugnant to the principles of humanity and universal morality, an ironic triumph of Christian principles in international law. Martin Luther King Jr.'s insistence that every human being has etched in his personality the indelible stamp of the Creator provided the foundation for challenging racial injustice. Archbishop Desmond Tutu condemned apartheid as totally unchristian, evil, and a heresy, a theological challenge to a system built on theological foundations. Even the hashtag MeToo movement represented a surprising revival of Christian sexual ethics, calling men to continence and self-control. America's culture wars aren't battles against Christianity, but civil wars between Christian factions. Both sides, whether supporting abortion rights or opposing them, advocating for transgender rights or traditional gender roles, draw on Christian principles. As Nietzsche observed, "God might be dead, but his shadow continued to flicker." The very standards by which we judge Christianity's failings are Christian inventions: that power should serve justice, that the vulnerable deserve protection, that human dignity transcends social status. When we protest injustice or champion the marginalized, we channel the revolution begun by a crucified carpenter. Christianity's most radical claim remains its most enduring. In Christ's kingdom, the last shall be first, the weak shall inherit the earth, and true greatness is measured by service, not dominion. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we remain heirs to this revolution, living in a world shaped by the scandalous idea that God chose to die like a slave.